You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. If you're just joining us, nice little tweet today. FBS commissioners considering expanding the college football playoffs from four schools up to double-digit teams. And the quote attached from a source, I sense 12 teams is building support. Andy Staples covers college football. He will join us coming up in a couple of minutes to talk about this. Expanding the playoffs. ESPN has the contract. I believe it goes through 2026, so you would have to renegotiate that. As Paulie is doing right now, you'd be ripping up that contract.
See you at the bank.
Yes. And if you were wondering what the matchups would be if a 12-team playoff existed last year, Bama, Coastal Carolina, Notre Dame, Indiana, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Cincinnati, A&M, Georgia, Iowa State against Florida. And maybe you would get a bye. I would imagine if you went, the top two seeds would get a bye. I'm guessing that. But you still have great matchups here. And I know Nick Saban came out yesterday. He was interviewed by Paul Feinbaum, and he said he wasn't in favor of expanding the playoffs because what that would do to the bowl games. Coach is wrong. It would make the bowl games more meaningful because you would play in a bowl game to get to another bowl game, to get to another bowl game, and then you'd play in the national championship. Everybody wins. The amount of money, everybody wins. The trickle-down in athletic departments, everybody wins based off what happened during the pandemic. So we'll talk to Andy Staples here in a moment. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Also, this is coming on the heels of the NCAA announcing that its president, Mark Emmert, is coming back. He got a contract extension. McLovin, the poll question, then we'll get to Andy Staples.
Who's going to win our draft bet? I have Justin Fields going 8 or higher. Seton has him 9 or lower. And 52% say Seton. No, it's changed.
Well, there was a tweet that was put out by a football insider from The Athletic.
Yeah, Kevin Fishbane.
Okay, so he said that apparently the Patriots have made a call or calls to the Falcons about the number 4 overall pick, with the object of desire being Justin Fields. Yes, McLeod.
There's also Twitter buzz that the Niners are playing possum and secretly covet Justin Fields. There are a lot of NFL writers with no inside knowledge on this fact, just putting two and two together. Justin Fields is awesome. Why don't they take him?
But why is this?
I have no idea.
Like they're not in competition with anybody. Are they trying to throw the draft into chaos and, hey, now we're taking Justin Fields, and then what? Does Atlanta act differently? Does Cincinnati act differently? Like, I don't think so. I think teams act differently if Justin Fields is available as opposed to if Mac Jones is. Yeah, McLovin.
Maybe it's just the media creating content because it's been, you said a month ago, it's Mac Jones is Shanahan's guy with Trey Lance, some supporters, and nothing's really changed, but we need some content.
Andy Staples covers college football for The Athletic. And before we get to the potential for a playoff here, Andy, let me ask you about these quarterbacks. The biggest question mark you have with the quarterbacks is attached to who?
Trey Lance, sample size. And that's really it, because he's got everything else. I mean, he's got everything you want in terms of size, speed, arm strength, football IQ, all that stuff. But he's played one season in the FCS as a starter. And that's the issue. You know, you say Mac Jones only played one season as a starter and Justin Fields played one and then an abbreviated season, but they're playing in the SEC and the Big Ten. Justin Fields Trey Lance was playing in the FCS. So that's really the big question. And the thing I would want out of the team that drafts Trey Lance is give him a chance to learn, you know, give him kind of the Pat Mahomes redshirt treatment. And, you know, if that's the 49ers, you could probably do that with Garoppolo. But, you know, I'm in the camp that says that Kyle Shanahan is looking at Mac Jones and going, oh, here's a guy who played in basically an NFL offense last year under Steve Sarkisian. He'll throw the ball where I want him to throw the ball. And I like that. So I see that it's the Falcons at 4 that intrigue me. Like, if they're going to take a quarterback or if they're going to trade that spot to somebody who's going to take a quarterback, I think that makes it more interesting. I would love to see Justin Fields go to the Falcons. I would love to see a guy from Atlanta be the Falcons. I mean, he would be an icon in Atlanta if he leads them to a Super Bowl.
Well, they loved him so much in Georgia, they let him transfer to Ohio State. So
Arthur Blank had nothing to do with that, Dan. Arthur Blank did not make Justin Fields go in on that fake punt.
Give me the quarterback, though, to keep an eye on with all the quarterbacks that you looked at this past year.
I'm intrigued about Kellen Mond and what NFL teams think of him, because this is a guy who's athletic. He's got a good arm. He got better every year at Texas A&M. And, you know, he coached very hard by Jimbo Fisher. So personality wise, he can handle whatever you're going to throw at him. And the question is, can he be a little bit more dynamic than what we saw at Texas A&M? Now, this year is interesting because he got better, even though he lost his four best receivers. He had a couple guys opt out right before the season started. So I think, you know, if you're picking in the second round and you're looking for somebody who might be able to come in and help you, he might be that guy.
All right, let's recap what you and Stuart Mandel were tweeting. FBS commissioners considering expanding the college football playoff from four schools up to double-digit teams, with the quote from a source, "I sense 12 teams is building support." How far down the road are we on this?
They've been talking about this for a little while. I mean, this discussion actually started following the 2018 season. And if you remember the final college football playoff rankings in that season, that's the one to remember. Ohio State didn't get in. You know, Notre Dame got in, and so that knocked out another BCS or Power Five conference. And Ohio State not only didn't get in, they finished in the final rankings behind Georgia, which had just lost the SEC championship game. There's that fake pun again. Sorry, Georgia fans. But that was when people looked at it and said, what's going on here? Are we the Big Ten, the most powerful or second most powerful conference in college football? Are we going to be shut out of this thing multiple times? Because remember, they didn't get in 17. They didn't get in 18. Their champion didn't get in 16, but Ohio State did. So you've got that. Then you've got the Pac-12, which hasn't gotten in since 16. You got the Big 12, which was the original, you know, existential crisis. We didn't get in the playoff. And people are just thinking about this and going, wait a second. Why are we in a system where we can just be knocked out in September, October, when we could have a system where everybody plays and we keep everybody engaged and somebody from every league is getting in?
And I also look at it when somebody says, well, it renders the regular season meaningless. And I said, no, it doesn't. Now it means more teams. Well, the importance of the regular season, if you say 12 teams are going to make the playoffs, if I make it now 20 schools are involved in those with the chance to be in the 12-team
right.
playoffs. If I, you know, look at college football now, how many get a chance to be in the top four? We may have seven or eight. Now I can at least double
Maybe.
That. I might even triple that. And it would only be 9% of college football teams that would make the playoffs. The NFL is 40% of the NFL makes the playoffs. College football, the bowl games will mean something now. You could have secondary bowl games that now are elevated a little bit here.
I'm gonna stop you there. Bowl games are done. Other than the ones that are already semifinals, they're done. I mean, they're going to be bowl games because they're television product and people like watching football on TV. But you're not putting those early playoff games in bowls. You're putting them where they belong on campus.
So you're going to have
bowl
games.
See,
okay, so you're going to
yeah,
have...
Yeah, I want to... Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What ESPN wants. That's what the schools want. Because think about this if you're an athletic director and you're trying to sell season tickets.
Well, you want to have a full house,
more,
too.
Yeah. What's going to sell you more season tickets? Priority to buy tickets to a home playoff game or that buy game that you're probably going to end up getting rid of?
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Give me the options that are in play here. Is it just 12?
There's a lot.
Okay.
They've said they're looking at 6, 8, 10, 12, 16. I think realistically we're talking 8, 10, 12 are probably what they're looking at. 8 is very neat. It's a multiple of 4. You have 3 rounds, quarterfinals on campus, semifinals at bowls, neutral site championship game. Mm. 10 and 12, then you add another week, but you add byes, which I was always an 8 guy, and I had an AD text me out of the blue a few months ago with an idea of 12. And I was like, why? That seems like too many. And this person's like, no, you're protecting the regular season by putting in the byes and by putting in the hosting. So, you know, it matters if you're 1 through 4 because you get a bye. It matters if you're 5 through 8 because you host the game. It matters if you're 9 through 12 because you either get in or you don't. That's a lot more engaged fan bases and engaged teams. You know, because one of the big arguments is, if you do this, does it nullify the conference championship games? Well, let's look at what would happen. So the Pac-12 conference championship game, which is not really relevant most years, like last year, USC and Oregon, they're playing for a championship and a trip to whatever, but this time it'd be for a playoff appearance. So that is a huge, huge game. I mean, that has stakes. Everybody wants to watch that because the team that's going to play them wants to see who they're going to play. And then the SEC championship game. Okay. I don't know if Alabama had much motivation, because if they lost, they might still be in the top four. But for Florida, if they win, they would have gone into the top four. So they not only would have gotten a bye, they would have gotten a home game. So there's motivation there.
Are you looking at the Power Five conferences will get automatic entry here?
I would think so. And I would think you can't do this without, if you're going to 10 or 12, you got to give an auto bid to the highest ranked group of five champion, to the Cincinnati or the UCF or the Boise State or whoever that is, because that's just good for business. That's a lot of fan bases that stay more interested in the sport, who don't feel like they're completely shut out of the race for the championship. Now, do those teams have a chance to win the championship? Would they win potentially four games in a playoff and win? Probably not. But I guarantee you, the first time one of them wins a game, this becomes the most beloved sporting event in America.
How soon can this happen?
So the soonest it could probably happen would be going into the 2023 season. The contract as currently constituted runs through the end of the 25 season. But the rotation of the bowls, where you have, you know, Rose and Sugar are a semi, and then Fiesta and Peach are a semi, that starts again in 2023. So you could okay, rip some stuff up and do it then. That would be the earliest.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks for giving me some content today. You know, this is great. What do you got next
week? We appreciate it too. Thank you, commissioners, because we were getting bored.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Great to talk to you, buddy. Andy Staples covers college football for The Athletic. Yeah, I didn't think about the bowl games, but he's right. If you're these schools and their powerhouses, they're going to go, you want to get a full house when you play in a bowl game. And you don't want to be in a neutral site. I get it. And I was wrong on that, because I thought, okay, yeah, this makes sense. I could have the bowl games. The bowl committees will tell you, you know, how many times are teams going to go on the road? How often will their fan base travel? And they want to fill out these stadiums. If Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame get a bye week and then a home game, that home game is going to be sold out. Now you go to a bowl game, and hopefully your fan base will travel there. You'll sell that out, and then you get down to the national title game. I understand that. Makes a lot of sense. Would be fun. But not this next season coming up, the season after that. Scott in Tampa joins us on the topic. Scott, thanks for holding. What's on your mind today?
Well, just as they had the March Madness as their coin phrase for the tournament, what sort of thoughts on the coin phrase for this set of tournament play going to be? Will it be like the fall frenzy? What are the thoughts from the Danettes and everybody?
Well, I know one person who would want to weigh in on this. Thank you, Scott. Todd, do you have any slogans?
I'm going to give that some thought, because that's something that definitely needs a name.
Oh, you get so fall frenzy?
That's not terrible.
But it's not the fall. It's winter.
Yeah, but it all starts. Now all the games matter. So it all starts in the fall. From game one with all these extra teams.
But March Madness starts in March. It doesn't start in October when the season starts.
That's a valid point.
March Madness. Yeah, Paul.
Is alliteration mandatory? Like when ESPN in November, they do Separation Saturday, college football.
You love alliteration, don't you? Yeah. For somebody whose name is Paul Papps, Paulie hates alliteration.
I was born into it.
Yeah, I think that's why.
Yeah.
Sure is. APP. APP. Phil in Indiana. Hi, Phil. Good to have you back.
Hey, Dan. Always a pleasure, buddy. Hey, real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts. So one of the hangups that I see on this, Dan, are the university presidents and the boards of trustees. They've always kind of been a little sticky on this, whether it's the academic issue, the travel issue, the more games issue. I wanted to get your thoughts as to if you think they would be impeding the process of growth. And always a pleasure, Dan. Have a great week, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. If you have a compass, point your compass towards the money. I know that we want to have, athletic student athletes. I know we want that. That was a phrase that was coined, I think, back in the mid 70s by Walter Byers. It's like jumbo shrimp. Okay. Do we need jumbo shrimp? How about just shrimp? But the student athlete, it's an athletic student, is what I've always said. But the student athlete, I don't know. If you want to attach grade point averages here to, some kind of penalties, or I give you some kind of extra credit, I don't know. See, this is why McLovin would always have a spot on the roster in basketball. Yeah. And they'd be like, hey, McLovin, come on. I need at least a 3.9 out of you, dude.
Totally.
Not points. I need 3.9 grade point average.
That was my role on the high school team. It was hard to say eligible in high school. I don't know if your team was like that, but half our team was below eligible. So I helped some guys.
I had a hard time staying eligible.
Yeah.
I mean, I stayed eligible, but my grade point average in high school was just over 2.0.
Right, and that's probably the line.
But my points per game average was, never mind.
And during the season, you probably didn't think twice about your homework or anything
No,
like
I
that.
Didn't. I did not. Who had the worst grade point average? Well, the back row had great point averages. Paulie, did you have a worse grade point average than me?
I'm pretty sure I did. I think I graduated from Marion Catholic High School, which is ironically a college prep school that takes academics seriously. I had a 2.12 grade point average. And I was ranked 380 out of 390 in my graduating class.
Okay. Right.
That means there's a few people I could
go. So 10 people were dumber than you.
Yeah. Well, maybe 4 that were actually dumber.
Seton O'Connor.
I didn't even know that it was done in numbers. Like, what do you mean a 2.159? Is it like an A, B, C, or D? I finished somewhere like in the middle-ish.
Oh, okay.
The bottom of, like, somewhere in that, like, lower 75%, I guess. I don't know.
I might have had a learning disability before they had learning disabilities. I couldn't stay focused. Like, I had no interest at all. None. And then I proved that by going to college and doing the same thing. Could not stay focused at all. Yeah, see.
When I went into my high school guidance counselor and sat down, I don't remember if it was my junior or senior year, I sat down and the first things he said to me was, so are you even thinking about college or are you just going to go work for the city? I was considering college.
Yeah. I never considered that college would look at my grade point average. I just thought they'd look at my points per game. Like, I thought, that'll supersede everything here. Because I was magna cum laude with that. Or is it summa cum laude is bigger? Why is it that, if I don't know, that should tell you how smart I am. I think it's summa cum laude is better than magna cum laude.
I don't know. I think magna is the highest,
okay.
No?
I thought it was, but I just second-guessed myself. See, if I was on the SAT, I would have second-guessed myself.
I'm not sure, though.
Yes, Paul.
I had a guidance counselor, and we were supposed to give him your list of 5 schools, and the school would apply on your behalf, and for the first 5 schools, then you have to do the rest on your own. I gave him 5 schools. None of them were too aggressive, but the 5th one was Northwestern. You know Northwestern in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
No Very shot. Good communication school. And he looked at me and goes, you should really put another school in there.
Yeah.
I go, is there a shot? He goes, there's no shot.
Yes, Todd.
I understand you want to reel the kids in and not get their hopes up, but there's got to be some kind of middle ground where you're giving them some confidence and letting them feel like encourage them to go for whatever schools they want to go for instead of saying, yeah, this college isn't for you not at all.
But I don't want somebody to lie to me.
No, not lie to you, but just leave a little window, meet you halfway instead of crapping all over your hopes and dreams of what you want to do after high school.
Did anybody look up, is it magna cum laude or summa cum laude?
That's going to be a mystery. We're going to live with the
unknown. Wait, I just said something. You're not doing a damn thing in the back row. Can you type in?
To be fair, the front row didn't look at all either.
Yeah, but they're not smart.
I'm actually working on another thing for the group here that is actually a little different that is going to shock you.
Okay. I'll get to that in a moment. Yes, Seton.
Magna is for students who have graduated with great distinction. SUMA is for students who have graduated with the highest distinction.
Hello? How about that back row?
Yeah, but that's right. BS. They're wrong because Magna sounds way
it
bigger
does.
Than SUMA.
And that's why you assume that Magna is...
That's good. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Okay. Do you have a tease here, McLovin, going to break that we're doing something that's...
No, it's so dumb. Yes, I'm going to tease us.
Oh, great.
I have the worst tease of all time.
Okay, something so dumb.
It doesn't work on radio at all. It's a visual, too. It's even worse.
Well, why don't you do this on the live look-in?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll do that so I can spare the radio listeners. If it's entertaining, then I'll let it bleed over into next segment there, which highly unlikely. We'll take a break. It's 22 after the hour. This, I think, still is the Dan Patrick Show. I might not have had a great point average that was respectable, but I'm smart enough to know that M-Drive makes me stronger, leaner, Fritzy says sexier. I got energy every single day. Age is undefeated, Todd.
You're the summa cum laude of how to take care of yourself.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Todd. M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. Helps me be energized, stronger, leaner. We got a lot to live for. You got to wake up. You got to carpe diem. You got to seize the day. How do you feel today? How did you feel when you rolled out of bed? Try M-Drive. MDriveDan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Or you can go to Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop to pick up M-Drive. Energy, strength, drive. It works for me. It can work for you. Go to MDriveDan.com today. Don't let age beat you. Make sure you refind your prime with M-Drive. Once again, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or go to MDriveDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. A sleepy town gets a wake-up call, the new Peacock original, Rutherford Falls. It stars Seton's wife's former college boyfriend, Ed Helms. Don't miss this hilarious new comedy.
No, that's
it's McLovin's.
They
that's
said
right.
they didn't. She said they didn't date.
Don't miss this hilarious new comedy streaming now. Sign up at peacocktv.com to get started. So it's McLovin's wife who was friends with Ed Helms.
Ed Helms. So I've just been told.
Just friends.
I'm gonna hate watch that show. It does look funny, though.
Did you have a conversation with your wife about Ed Helms?
So it's actually not Ed Helms that made me uncomfortable. It's Ed Helms was in a band and we ran into one of his bandmates and there was awkward silence.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like, Ed Helms, nothing. Ed Helms just like blood pressure the same. Then this other guy who played the banjo or something, he was in a banjo band, awkward silence.
I mean, what kind of band is Ed Helms? He's not in like a Motley Crue type band. He's in an a cappella group.
No, he's like a professional level banjo player. And it was some sort of bluegrass band or something.
Okay. All right.
You know, she went to the school Oberlin that's known for its music school. Like Ed Helms probably went to be a musician.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard to compete with those guys.
Yeah.
I'm fine losing out to rock stars and actors.
But the awkward silence, though, that's where.
Yeah.
And we had Ed Helms in studio a couple of years ago.
He didn't remember my wife. I was a little, I didn't love that.
Well, I'd rather that he didn't than he did.
If he like, he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember.
Whoa.
Bulch?
Yeah. Yes, Bulch.
It's like that scene in Best in Show.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
He goes and visits his old girlfriend. He goes, hey, remember back then when you put your leg in? Eugene Levy's like.
Yeah. Eugene Levy is like going, looking like, what? Why aren't you? I'm right here. You're talking about this.
Remember this? I'm not wearing.
You injured your hip.
See if this rings any bells. I'm not wearing. Bulch? I haven't seen you since we. Yeah. Yeah.
Bulge. Bulge.
The best,
Bulge?
Man.
Yeah, Bulge.
I just finished all seasons of Schitt's Creek last night.
Oh, okay.
Six seasons. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's one of those where I didn't like the concept at first and I never got into it. It's like you, Dan, you didn't like the name. But that turned out to be a really good show.
I got into it, but I didn't stay. And I regret not staying because I do like that sense of humor, But I don't know. Just something about it that I keep going, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to watch Schitt's Creek. Let's get some phone calls here. Oh, by the way, we have a draft game tomorrow. What is the draft game tomorrow,
Paulie? We each have to write down where each of the first-round quarterbacks will go. What team they'll go to. Not where.
Okay.
Not what pick.
Okay.
But just where each team, which quarterback will go in the first round of the draft.
Okay. And
so if you pick Trey Lance, all you got to tell me is the team that takes him and keeps him.
So this is just a game.
Yeah.
This isn't anything that's meaningful. So the audience doesn't really invest in this. They don't go, oh, my God, who won? Who won the game?
Well, we'll see.
I think somebody should get a tattoo. That's always my favorite with this audience. Whenever we're going like, I don't know, we're looking at what's at stake here? Wheel of Punishment. Somebody should get a tattoo.
You got a tattoo on your face. No.
Somebody should donate an organ. No, we're not going to do that. Todd came up with some college football playoff names.
So work in progress. Anything there that even remotely excites you?
Will this help out if I deliver them?
Yes.
Okay. Frenetic February. 12 O'Rock.
For 12 teams.
Are the playoffs going to be in February?
That's just for, we could assume, or just for game sake, that it spills into February.
Okay. Well, that's not how it should work. I mean, it has to be like the month that it's going to be in.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the paperwork on when they're going to have these games.
I mean, March Madness does crown a champ in April, but it is March.
Primarily March is when things are going on.
February Fever. Twitter 12.
Oh, boy.
My God. Work these social are horrible. Media.
You want to go back to talking about the draft quarterback game?
I thought the middle one was pretty good.
Fabulary.
Fabulary is a winner.
I'm okay
that is a winner and
that.
A half.
I'm okay with Fabulary.
Fabulary.
Okay, I don't think I could come up with anything.
Mostly because it's so dumb.
It is.
Fabulary.
Yes.
I think that one's going to stick.
Doug in Washington. Hi, Doug. Please save us. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, quick thing on this playoff talk.
Mm-hmm.
You had a little oversight, and it was minor, but I just wanted to point it out. If you have 12 teams, then the top four are going to have a bye. There's no way to play that down to get to the appropriate number of teams at the end. So Coastal Carolina would actually play Texas A&M to begin with, and they'd have to win a couple games to get to Alabama.
All right, and thank you, Doug, for correcting me. Yeah, I was just given this proposal without any other information there, and we started to look at the matchup between 1 and 12. So, you know, once Andy Staples joined us and he kind of clued us in on more information, because it wasn't my report, but you're right. Coastal Carolina and Alabama wouldn't have played in the opening round. Dave in Nashville joins us. Good morning, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just wanted to take this opportunity to tell my son that I'm proud of him for all the hard work he's doing to support his family. And I wanted to wish him a very happy birthday today. He's 33 today.
Dave.
And he listens to your show all the time.
Dave.
Hello?
Could you have called your son?
Yeah, but he kind of wanted to hear it on the show.
Okay. What's his name, Dave?
Dustin.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Dustin. Okay, that's Dave.
At least he added who listens to your show, because up until then it was like they're just taking random birthday messages.
But I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I you can just call your son. I hope he calls him first and then says, hey, I'm going to try to call the Dan Patrick Show. It's those people who do this on Twitter where you just get, you know, and I'm not on Twitter, and you get or Facebook. You are my shining light. I would not be here without you. And I just go, why don't you just put that in a card and just give it to her?
Who knew 15 years ago I would get to marry my best friend?
That's exactly right.
Yes, Paulie.
A couple years ago, I'm calling her out. My mom on Facebook posted, happy birthday to my wonderful son, blah, 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 blah. But she didn't call me on my birthday.
Okay.
She posted on Facebook. And the next day, I was like, she goes, did you see my nice message? I'm like, yeah, but my phone didn't ring.
Actually, no, I didn't. I wasn't on Facebook all day. Right. Was there a nice message? I didn't.
Old people love the phone.
Yes, Todd.
But you're kind of doing it for yourself. It makes you look how what a wonderful mom or husband I am.
Yes.
And it's hidden with this nice message to someone else, but it's really all about yourself that you're posting that.
When I was going through my health issues, I had people who were tweeting, hey, you know, feel better. And there are people who have my number. And I remember talking to two of them, and I said, you could just call. Like, you could text. You know, you could email. You don't have to tweet it.
But you don't get national credit for being such a wonderful person.
Yes, Eden.
Dustin. Or Justin, I don't remember which one.
I hope it was Dustin.
Maybe it was Justin.
I mean, it might have been Justin. Okay, well.
Tony said Dustin.
Dustin or Justin, happy birthday.
It's like that Chris Rock thing where it's like, because the dad called up and was like, hey, I just wanted to say I'm so proud of you for doing everything you can do to support your family. It's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Hey, you want a cookie?
Yeah. Yeah, what, you want a cookie? That's what you're supposed to do.
Tim in New Jersey. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. It's Jim. But anyway, I think Keaton stole my thunder. It's not Justin or Dustin either.
Okay. Hi, Jim.
It's cum laude is with honors. Magna cum laude with great honors. And then summa with highest honors. But there is one exception, Dartmouth. On their diploma, there's something called de minimis.
Okay.
Not even worthy of consideration. Thank you, Pearl.
What just happened?
I got schooled in Latin, I guess.
It's a shot.
That was a big shot.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, like, yeah, see.
Dang, yeah, de minimis, minimus. What?
Yeah, Paul.
De minimis is Latin for something that's...
Doesn't he work for ESPN covering the Lakers?
Yeah. De minimis.
Dake McMinimis.
Broccoli, broccola.
It's Latin for minor, too minor to merit consideration.
Wow.
What, Todd?
That's so unnecessary to take a shot at my back row partner like that. I don't like that.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Why didn't you just say that to McLovin? Why did you have to say that to us?
Because I wanted you and the nation to know that I care about my partner.
No, you could have just said to McLovin during the break, hey, I'm really sorry.
I wouldn't get credit for being such a swell guy. I could have just written him a note.
Are you really sorry, or do you want people to know?
I want people to
really
know
so.
That I'm backing up McLovin.
Minimum kindness, Todd.
Yeah.
It's me right there.
Remember minimum kindness?
Wasn't it like 4 years ago?
That was a thing. That was a toddler thing.
How did you come up with minimum kindness?
Yeah, no, Paulie remembers.
You remember, Paulie?
It has something to do with when Todd comes back from break and he goes, hey, how was your break? And then you start talking about it. He starts typing and he doesn't listen to like anything, but he gives you the minimum kindness of how you doing, what's going on in your life.
Sometimes you're in a situation where it's one of those throwaway lines where like if someone asks you how you doing and you just, you know, you give a basic response and then you move on with your life.
But I came back from my son's wedding, and you go, hey, did you have a good time this weekend?
I actually did want to know.
And then
but then beyond that, I just, you know, just continue on the other side of the glass. I got work.
Well, you didn't care after that.
No, that was we hadn't seen you since your son got married. So at the very least, you know,
and
you feel compelled to ask.
Nobody appears to care more on this show than
I appreciate
you.
That.
No one
appears.
Yes.
I sent you the Mazel Tov text and everything.
I
didn't even get your thumbs up, whatever, your emoji back, or nothing. Maybe I think there was maybe a THX.
Todd,
maybe
I'm only 1% Jewish.
I understand that, but that's more than enough. You know,
should have done Mazel or Tov.
Just send me the letter K back. That you got it. You're alive. Everything's okay wherever you are. That everything's good. You're happy.
Did we talk about the draft game?
Oh, it's ready.
Okay. We did talk about that. Okay. Just want to make sure we've gone off the rails here. How about we take a break and regroup? Let's do that. We'll come back and close up shop. Last call for phone calls after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all. On the show, I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's official. Buccaneers have brought back everybody. And I do mean everybody. Antonio Brown is coming back. He agreed on a one-year deal with the Buccaneers, if you care about such things, worth up to $6.25 million. He's guaranteed $3.1 million, including a $2 million signing bonus. Last year at this time, he was out of football, and he was suspended. Won a Super Bowl, and now he got another contract. But you look back on the money that he gave up, or that he lost, about $30 million with what happened with the Raiders and subsequent issues. What a mess. Trey Lance going to join us on the program tomorrow. One of my favorite draft analysts, Daniel Jeremiah, will stop by as well. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
What up, though? One time for chat row. I mean, you got an on-air correction, a birthday proclamation, lesson in Latin. How can I follow that, man? I mean, my goodness. You just... Man, oh man. Listen, Chatbro wants to tell you, congratulations on you and your son's nuptials to his new daughter. You picked up some awesome in-laws. And to witness two individuals getting married, man, that's truly wonderful. It really is. With your boy Steve and Pete, I was on earlier today, man. My goodness, he could have hesitated when saying who's the worst team. I mean, he just, Detroit Lions. With no problem whatsoever. The seventh pick, if Justin Fields falls to us, it would be wonderful. Me defending the Ohio quarterback seems funny, but I honestly believe if Dwayne Haskins would have worked out in Washington, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I want to give a shout-out to those who remember Calvin Hayward, who worked with me at ESPN. He was a director. He passed away. And in this business, it's hard to go unscathed where you didn't have an enemy. Or somebody would say something negative about you. And Calvin, who we nicknamed Wood, he was one of those guys. He light up the room, never made it about himself. Selfless, wonderful director at the mothership. Many, many, many nights, 11 o'clock Sports Centers. He would be there in my ear directing me as we did Sports Center. But Wood was a good man. And John Saunders is the one. I spent a lot of time with John and Calvin. And, you know, we were able to have great, real conversations. And a lot of it had to do with race. I remember Calvin was talking about that when he drove home at night, there was a restaurant bar that was right next to ESPN called the White Birch. And John would go over there after he did college basketball and he would hold court and I'd go over there. And I remember Calvin would say, you know, I got to get on the road, DWB. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, driving while black. Because he had a BMW. And he lived in the area that I lived. He lived like two blocks away. But he said, you know, the later it is at night, nice car, African-American, he said DWB. And I just remember he would always bring that up, you know. But a good soul. Really, truly a good soul and a lot of great memories. A lot of great memories. This day in sports history, what do you have for me, Paul?
Got a few. 1961, the NFL chose Canton, Ohio as a site for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 1971, Hank Aaron hit his 600th home run. 1985, Billy Martin was named manager of the New York Yankees for the fourth time. 1987, the NBA expanded to both Charlotte and Miami. In 1988, they announced it. And let's see. Ooh, this is a big one for hockey fans. Dale Hunter of the Caps, blindside check on Pierre Turgeon of the Islanders on May 4th. He got a 21-game suspension.
Yeah.
Very big deal at the time.
Yeah. Let's see. Zach in California. Hi, Zach. What's on your mind today?
Well, Dan, good morning. Good morning, boys. Thanks for sharing that information, and sorry for your loss with your friends. And I was really calling to wish my wife a happy anniversary because it's our third anniversary today. but after what you just said, I felt really silly for even mentioning it. But thanks for all the hard work that you do, and thanks for the way you handle information like you just did.
Thank you, Zach. Zach, don't be afraid to wish your wife a happy birthday or anniversary, you know, in person. You could do that. Maybe make her dinner or something. Yeah, see.
Some people wondering if Dustin Justin set his dad up for failure knowing that you would react poorly to birthday shout-outs. Wow. Everybody knows you. If you listen to the show, everybody knows you hate birthday shout-outs. Maybe Dustin or Justin was like, hey, Dad, call up and do this. It would really mean a lot to me knowing that he was going to get roasted, which if that's the case, is tremendous.
Tim in Wisconsin. Tim, what can I do for you today?
Hey, DP, actually, this is Dustin. I'm sorry to correct you. but I was thinking about getting my wife a card and flower for her anniversary, but since we're able to just, you know, give shout-outs on national radio, I thought, why don't I just call in and wish her a happy three-year anniversary, too? So thanks for fitting me in. I love you, honey. And I love all you Danettes, too. So.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, Tim. It's very cost efficient. You don't have to buy a gift, take her to dinner. You just call in and wish her a happy anniversary. Yes, Todd.
And you record that, and you could play it back, and you have it forever. Remember that special day when I was on national radio and said that to you? That's a nice little keepsake.
Yeah. You know, I love hearing that, you know, being able to share those memories with you, because I should share memories with you, like a birth date or an anniversary. Because who do you think of when you think of a birth date or an anniversary? You think of me. But it's nice to be a part of the ceremony.
Just keeping things interesting.
Yeah.
Spicing things up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not just Tim who's wishing his wife a happy anniversary. It's me. So now the marriage just got a little spicier there. But yeah, I'm there for you. And I do love when you tell me how you started as a fan with your team. You know, that's another one when you give me great detail on, you know, you got time, Dan? I want to tell you about, you know, how I became an Eagles fan. So it started in 67, and then 68, 72, you know.
I didn't even like football at first. I just happened to go with the guys, and then I just fell in love with went to this game in overtime.
Let's see. Anything else I need to get to that I didn't get to today? Anybody?
Your Mavs uniforms? You love the Mavs uniforms
last
night.
I did. I like the Mavs uniforms.
The gold piping?
I don't think Golden State liked the Mavs uniforms. Golden State let the Mavs go on a 28-0 run. That's hard to do, to go on a 28-point run. It's really hard to allow somebody to score 28 consecutive points in your Golden State with Steph Curry there.
LeBron would never let that happen.
No, of course he wouldn't. No, Michael wouldn't let that happen. Yes, Tom.
Is it possible the Warriors were admiring their jerseys and they just didn't know what was going on? It's like, I don't understand the colors. That has nothing to do with the Mavericks. Next thing they know, they gave up 28 straight points.
You know, we could have.
It's possible that they're like,
Todd, we could have just done that maybe after the show. Like, we didn't need to.
That's probably a post-show comment.
We just didn't.
Because then you say, that's terrible. I'm glad you didn't say it on the air. But
yes.
No, it's too late.
They're probably 3 to 5 times each day when I say, oh, thank God.
I should submit these things before we get on the air early in the morning. Here's a few things I was thinking about saying, and then you can just kind of grade them.
What did I learn today, Todd?
PFF Steve Palazzolo still believes Justin Fields would be the best fit at 3 for the Niners.
Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. Their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans, build equipped and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Submit your photo with DP Show gear on it and your birthday. We'll put you on the calendar. Talk to you tomorrow.